session number 21720, Reel 4.
George Grey, Reel 4. Yes, it must have been quite a motley crew of planes and pilots.
Yes, very,
did
very
you get
mixed.
This feeling? Yes.
Very, very mixed, and a lot of I can't remember much of the banter going on, but we saw some American airplanes. I mean, somebody saw one landing, and it had been painted in a sort of, one panel was painted one colour and the other, and it looked really raggedy. And they said to this American pilot, they said, "My God, that's a rough-looking ship." So the pilot said, "Yeah, I'm hoping the termites are holding hands." And this was the sort of crash going on all the time. I can't think of particularly any more, but it was a very much international occasion, of course. I mean, international in the sense that French, English and Americans, as opposed to the French, I don't think they did much. I don't know what they did. But it was very much an Anglo-British affair in the airlift. And I think, was Truman still in charge? I think he was, didn't he? Probably. It was his idea to do this sort of thing.
Did you have any sense, though, while it was ongoing, you know, bearing in mind your, from what you've been saying, your very great awareness of the sort of Cold War issues?
Yes, I thought it might have developed. You know, I thought it might have provoked Stalin to do more. But it didn't, and I'm not quite sure why he didn't do more, but he just did not. And there was all this atmosphere that he could just roll in there and crush the thing in one go, because he had almost the cities, well, he had the cities around it, didn't he? And we used to pass over these areas where he had, you know, hundreds of tanks firing, and on the ground, the ranges and soldiers everywhere. And there was very much an atmosphere that if there'd been a crack or something, or but he never actually attacked the aircraft in the lift. But I'm not sure what the position was then.
You were saying you were buzzed, though.
Yes, the sort of thing that happened is early morning. I think that one incident was near Magdeburg, and we'd be flying, I think it was towards Berlin, and all these aircraft were appearing on the left. There's about 30 or 40 of them in a rather ragged formation. And then it sort of turned and flew towards us, you know. Well, I think the intent was not to fly into us, but we're such ragged flyers, I thought these fellas probably don't know how to avoid you. And that's the sort of thing that did go on. But could, other than that...
Could you tell me, you know, now about the Berlin Airlift Association?
Yes.
And how, you know, you have returned to Berlin.
I went back. I think it's a year or two back now, and we had letters around from anybody that went into Berlin during the airlift time. So I wrote to them and said, well, I used to fly out of Berlin quite regularly, but on the airlift I was only doing a smaller proportion of the time, but I was flying in and out of there. And they said, this doesn't matter, we want to get together a group of people who at least were in on the airlift, and a lot of them, of course, who were on the ground in Germany and so forth, to form an association just to commemorate the airlift, because there was nothing to commemorate it at the time. And this is why I joined the organisation. And little did I think that in a few years' time, the Berlin government and Herr Gries, I think, was the organiser, was going to say, well, we'd like to have some people over to Berlin on the anniversary of the airlift. And so I was able to go with my wife, and we were royally treated there. It was a magnificent episode. And I think a lot of people said afterwards, oh, well, I did something on the airlift. But, I mean, the thing is with all these organisations, if you're going to start them, you've got to say, well, I was one there, and you want me to make up the number. And this was the position. And so they then got their own standard, which they had blessed at Clement Danes, and an organised situation, so that when we went to Berlin, everything was highly organised, and a very, very pleasant stay we had indeed.
That would have been the 50th anniversary, would it?
Yes,
the,
it would.
End
I think,
of it.
Yes, I think it was the first one. And we all went to Heathrow. We were given these big badges with the airlift on them and all that sort of thing. It was all very well organised. We've flown out there, put on coaches and taken to Gatow and given some given food there and then taken to these hotels in town. And they have a museum on the west side of the town there where they've moved the Checkpoint Charlie and one of the aircraft off the airlift is there, or one or two of the airplanes, and we visited that and so on. They had one stage, say, we went to this museum and the RAF provided an escort of RAF regiment with fixed bayonets plus the RAF band, and the forms up behind them. We marched a couple of miles all marching behind the band, you know, which was went down quite well, and the older people in Berlin were quite appreciative and came out. I don't think the younger people know much about the airlift there. They don't. It's a bit in the past for them. But the older people who have been present knew how vital a thing it had been. And this is how they formed this association, Gratitude Association, I believe it is, for the airlift itself. But there were people there who did much more flying than I, day and night, and quite poor conditions, I think, in and out of Berlin. And I met quite a few of those, or them, rather.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much indeed, Mr.
It's been a pleasure.
For telling me so much, not only about the airlift, which, you know, you were an important part of.
Yeah, it's very kind to say that, yes.
And a very interesting part as well.
You know,
being part of BOAC, and also for telling me about your war experience.
There was just one factor about it, is if I'd been day and night on the airlift for about a year, I wouldn't have been so objective as one who goes there every so often for a few days and in and out and so forth. And one's able to come back to one's own home, and you sort of get a more distant view, I suppose, of the whole thing.
Yes, that's an interesting point, isn't it?
Yes,
that you
it
can
is.
Look at it in
I do remember one other thing there. I was flying some people, and for some reason we were on the same coach in Cologne, and he was the deputy mayor of Cologne. And I was talking to him. This was about the airlift time. And he was talking to another German, and he sort of said, I cannot see the Allies letting us run our own country or our own government for very, very many years, you see. And I said, I'm not too sure about that, because, of course, we couldn't afford to. And that was the German outlook, and I think they were a bit surprised that events moved more rapidly than they, due to the Cold War, and West Germany came into being. But how they rebuilt it, I shall never know. It was an absolute wreck. I just don't know how they did it. Well, they did, of course, but there you are.
Yes, I think the population and women did a lot, didn't
they?
Oh,
yes. Well, they had to. They were the only people left. Tremendous. I mean, I think the women, you know, they'd shovel coal. They did anything, really. You know, it was an all-out matter of survival. It was either that or the Russians. We all know what the Russians can do to people. I sort of particularly remember reading in, I read Khrushchev's memoirs, and he's talking to, not as Gomulka, he's talking to somebody in Poland, Warsaw, and there's a lot of damage there, and he puts his arm around this chap and said, never mind, we will help you to rebuild. And this was a man who criticised the Soviet Union, saying, the lifts don't work properly, whereas in Finland they do, you know. So it was an interesting time.
Were you surprised at the end of the Cold War, you know, when it came in 1990?
Oh, excuse me again. Not really, because I think the communist system had run out of steam. I'd been into the Soviet Union, seen a few places, and everything they're doing is very amateur. And in many senses, they were happy, you know, but nothing really was happening.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Gray.